you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're continuing our study in the book of Joshua. We're in Joshua chapter 9. This is God's word. "Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the great sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. The men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, 'We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us.' The men of Israel said to the Hivites, 'But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you?' 'We are your servants,' they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, 'Who are you and where do you come from?' They answered, 'Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, "Take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, "We are your servants. Make a treaty with us." This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now, see how dry and moldy it is? And these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are? And our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey." The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites set out and on the third day came to their cities, Gibeon, Kephira, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, but all the leaders answered, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live so that wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them." They continued, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers for the entire community." So the leader's promise to them was kept. Then Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said, "Why did you deceive us by saying, 'We live a long way from you,' while actually you live near us? You are now under a curse. You will never cease to serve as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you. And that is why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems good and right to you." So Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the community and for the altar of the Lord at the place the Lord would choose. And that is what they are to this day. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy an inspired word. On the one hand, I really like this story for reasons that I will discuss in a few moments. On the other hand, I really am made very uncomfortable by this story because it is a powerful warning of something that is all too easy to fall into. If you were to look at the passage we just read, the verses that you've just heard, what would you say is the key verse? Take a look at that. Look at verse 14. The men of Israel sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. You want to know how to get in a mess? Rely on your own understanding. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all of your ways, inquire, depend on Him, and He'll make your path straight. Acknowledge Him in everything. Do you ever feel like, oh, I don't need God's input on this one? I don't need to ask God about this. I don't need to submit. This was not like choosing socks in the morning. They were about to make a treaty with a neighboring people. They were about to enter into not just a business deal, but something more akin to a marriage, because this is going to impact future generations. This was a huge deal. God had said, when you go in there, you wipe out the people that live there. And now here's some people saying, hey, make a treaty with us. And they start, you can tell there are questions in their mind. Look at the beginning of the passage. The men of Israel, verse 7, said to the Hivites, but perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you? In other words, it's like, well, wait. How do we know? Joshua asked, who are you and where do you come from? The question is there. And they said, your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. Well, that sounds good. I mean, they had come because of the fame of the Lord God. They had come because they knew that the power of God was greater than any military force. They were, of a sort, believers. But they were not doing what God teaches. They were lying. They resorted to a ruse. Now, the other nations around were trying to stand up militarily. The other nations around were saying, we're going to fight. These folks said, that's useless. Anybody hear of Jericho? Anybody hear of Ai? I don't think so. So, let's trick them. And here's the reason that I really enjoy this passage. I find it very humorous in this regard. In order to trick them, they had to pretend to come a long distance. So they put on worn-out sandals and worn-out clothes, and they got some worn-out wineskins, and they got a bunch of old, stale, and moldy bread, and traveled a few days to where the guys were. Now, I want to ask you a question. What were they doing with a bunch of worn-out clothes, worn-out sandals, worn-out wineskins, and dry and moldy bread? Why'd they have that stuff anyway? The answer is the same reason that your parents have that stuff. Okay? There's something fundamentally wrong with our little pack rat mentality that says, well, I know this is worn out, but I'll just put it in the back of the closet. Okay? Well, I never wear these shoes anymore, but you know, someday I might need to go out into the mud and not want to mess up my good shoes, so I'm gonna save these shoes. They're worn out, they're no good, but you know, I might need them sometime. Okay? And so we've got all this stuff. I mean, this is the human condition. And what I love about this is it's not just modern Americans. Thousands of years ago in the Middle East, people were like that. Way back here, the Gibeonites are demonstrating a consistency in human nature. But let me tell you, it's not just the tendency to save old stuff that is typical of people in every generation and in every country. There's something else going on here that sadly is typical of people in every generation and every country, and that is the Gibeonites were being deceitful. They were being deceitful even as they spoke religiously. And as they pretended humility, Oh, we are your servants. Do whatever you think is right. We are in your hands. We humble ourselves before you. But was that really what they were up to? No, they were manipulating this situation. They were playing these people like a fiddle. And you and I have got to be careful and realize that there are some people who will say the right stuff, but their heart is headed in the wrong direction. And it's very, very disappointing when you discover that. But from time to time, you do discover it. Because a person says over here, oh, yes, I just want to serve the Lord. And over here, it's like, let me tell you what my real plan is. That is human nature. And it's sinful. It's disgraceful. But it's what was happening. The Gibeonites were saying what they needed to say in order to get what they wanted. It didn't get them everything they wanted, but it got them the main thing they wanted, which was not to get killed. That's what they were looking for. Better a live dog than a dead lion, the expression goes. That was the mindset of the Gibeonites. Okay? Let me tell you something. Many of you come from situations where you have felt that you had to be dishonest in order to survive. It's just a way of life. It's the way the people around you live. It's the way your role models live. They're dishonest. You know they're dishonest. And you've been taught that. God has a promise twice in Revelation. He lists the people who are going to be in hell. But there's one group of people in that list that gets special emphasis. You know who it is? Liars. It says adulterers are going to go be thrown into the lake of fire. People who practice witchcraft are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Murderers are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But then it says, and all liars. Why do you suppose that it would say all? Twice? Both times when the list is given? Emphasis on liars. They're all going to be in hell. Why? I think, number one, because lying is so typical of our fallen human nature, our life apart from Christ. And secondly, because one of the lies we tell ourselves is that we'll be the exception. Okay? I mean, that may be true of other people, but it doesn't really apply to me. I mean, I'm going to be the one who gets away with it. Wrong. God says no. All liars are going to hell. How many of you in here have ever told a lie? See your hand? Me too. That's why I got my hand up. I raised mine first. Well, so, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The only hope for those of us who find ourselves on that list is new life in Christ. But new life in Christ is more than just being forgiven. It means now he's the boss and we don't keep living the way we used to live. We don't lie. We tell the truth. But if I do, it could cost me. Oh yeah, absolutely. Jesus said so. But if I tell the truth, it could be humiliating. Been there. But if I tell the truth, it's scary. Yes, it sure is. And that's why you need to cling to God, who says to you, do not be afraid. Be of good courage.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
The Gibeonites lied. They resorted to a ruse. And they got to live for a while. But generation after generation, they found what happens to everybody happened to them too. They all died. Verse 14. The men of Israel sampled their provisions but did not inquire of the Lord. You might want to memorize that verse. Let it be a warning. Because there will be times when you will look at situations and you will say to yourself, this is a no-brainer. I can figure this one out. I don't need to pray about this. This is obviously the right thing to do. The fact of the matter is, sometimes when things look obvious to us, what should be obvious to us is that this is too good to be true. And therefore, be careful. Pray. Seek God. Inquire of the Lord. Where in these chapters do we find Joshua inquiring of the Lord and the Lord tricking him? Nowhere. Where do we find him inquiring of the Lord and the Lord refusing to give direction? Nowhere. But where do we find him making a bad mistake because he didn't bother to inquire of the Lord? Right here. Right here. Don't repeat his mistake. I don't want to be like this. And I can see myself being like this. I can see myself looking at the situation and saying, well, let me check that out. Yeah, those wineskins are pretty worn out. I mean, they really, and you say these were new when you left? I hate to say this, but you know who is most likely to get tricked by a liar? An honest person. Because an honest person assumes the other person is going to tell them the truth. This is a warning that we live in a world that is filled with people who do not follow our God, and they will lie to you, and you may not be able to figure out who's telling the truth by looking at the evidence. You need to inquire of God. We live in a country where our courts are filled with perverts, with demoniacs, with people who will spend forever in hell unless they repent. And they are the ones who are the arbiters of justice because God has handed this nation over to evil. We should not be surprised. Well, the court said it's okay. Well, the court also, once upon a time, said that black people weren't really fully human. You going to go with them on that one? Do you think? I mean, that's what the court said. So, I guess that's it. No! It was a lie from a bunch of racists. And eventually, thank God, it was overturned. In the early 70s, court decided that a baby isn't a person, so it's okay to kill it. Well, the court says so. Guess it's okay. Wrong! One of the main arguments in favor of abortion in this country was that it would prevent child abuse. The motto of Planned Parenthood was, every child a wanted child. Go do the research and see what has happened to the rate of child abuse in this country since Roe v. Wade was decided. Guess what happened? If you look at the charts, child abuse went like this. Why? Because the highest court in the land had just declared children as legitimate targets of destruction. And when you do that, you're not just sending a sociological and psychological message. You are opening up the cauldron of hell and releasing demons in this country. And with the Supreme Court's recent decisions concerning what constitutes legitimate marriage, and whether or not the people can say, not okay. We have gone several giant steps closer to the lake of fire. Pastor Wood, you don't seem very happy today. I'm just telling you, we're moving through Joshua and we come on this historic day to the place where people did what looked right to them and they got it totally wrong because they didn't inquire of the Lord. And we used to have judges who recognized that God's law is supreme. Now we have judges who say that that has no place in deciding anything. Not all of them. There are some decent people. Unfortunately, they're not in the majority. And we need to know that. Now, Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days later, they found out they'd been tricked. Okay, what do? Kill them! No. Can't. We said we wouldn't. They may be liars, but we will not be. Even though it was maddening, even though it was difficult, and even though the people were very upset with the leaders said, we cannot go back on our oath, because if we do, we'd be in trouble with God ourselves. We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we'll do. We'll let them live so that wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them. Did you hear that? You see, the human tendency is to want to go and kill the people who lied to you. That's not my tendency at all, Pastor Wood. I'm concerned about you. I think you must be having a testosterone flash or something. Okay? I mean, I don't know what is, do you really, you would want to kill these people for what they did? Hey, they were supposed to die anyway. If they hadn't tricked me, we'd be killing them. Now I find out that the reason that I said I wouldn't kill them is because they lied to me. I think they deserve to die. They do deserve to die, but you're not allowed to kill them because you promised you wouldn't. And if you become like them, a liar, you will incur God's wrath. You can't be like that. Okay, so we're going to let them live. But they're going to be slaves. They're going to be woodcutters and water carriers. They're going to do the jobs that other people don't want to have to do. And thankfully, I don't have to do that anymore. Okay? I'm just guessing, by the way, that the reason my last name is Wood is we're probably descended from the Gibeonites. But it's a long shot, but could be. Not likely. Means we lived out in the woods and probably were woodcutters and water carriers. But I want you to understand this. The reason they didn't kill them is because they'd given their word that they wouldn't. But Joshua goes to him and he says to him, and I mean, I feel for Joshua. I love this guy. He goes to him and he says, why did you do that to me? They said, we were afraid we were going to die. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is it better to die or to lie? Depends on whether or not you know God. If you know God, it's okay to die. If your trust is in Him, your life is in His hands. Don't be afraid. Tell the truth. Do what's right. Honor Him. Oh, but death is scary. So is life. But you don't have to be afraid. You're trusting in God, He'll see you through. Do not fear. Be of good courage. Tell the truth. Honor God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.